This world's messed up, isn't it? It is. I watch the news, you know, and I say this a lot, but I try not to watch the news, but I end up watching the news anyway because I want to. It starts out with, well, I'll just watch the weather. And then it ends up, you know, then I get stuck watching something else, and I'm paying attention to what's going on over in Israel, you know, and all that kind of stuff, because it's important. It really is. What goes on in Israel is important. And so we need to pay attention to that, because Jesus said, when you see these things coming, pay attention. You know that the time is not yet, but the time is coming. You need to be alert and be aware of the things going on in the world. He tells us that. And so, last week was Easter. Man, that's a big day. Man, wasn't it a great service last week? I tell you what, I was just all week I was thinking about that. Christ is risen, amen? And we celebrate that. But now we got to focus on the weeks to come on Pentecost, because Pentecost Sunday's coming up, and that's another big day, right? Pentecost Sunday is a big day for the church. Man, that's really the day the church was given everything they needed to be successful. And so during this time, between now, and there's, you know, the 50 days between, you know, Pentecost and the resurrection, I'm calling on the church to be praying and fasting. Pray and fast for God to do something amazing. Because, you know what, I got to tell you, this world needs us. This world, this country that we live in needs the church. They need us. Our community here needs the church. Our schools need the church. And you know, this church here, this church needs us to be the church who is dedicated to the work of the Lord. We need to be that for our country, our community, our schools. That's who God called us to be. For us to be successful in that work, we need to be the church on fire, filled with the Holy Spirit, not conformed to the patterns of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're different. Christ called us to be different. We're different from the patterns of this world and what this world is trying to shove down our throats. We all know in our hearts that it's not right, don't we? Amen? We know that. Why do we know that? Why does it grieve us? Because we know in our heart, because Christ lives within us, and Christ, the Holy Spirit, guides us and says, hey, this is not the way you should be. This is the way the world will be. We shouldn't be surprised at what goes on in the world. Even Solomon said, everything that's been done has been done under the sun. He witnessed all this. And when you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, you see that Solomon's like, people are evil. Humanity's evil. Aside from God, if they don't have God in your life, if you don't have God in your life, humanity can become terribly evil. And we see it. And throughout history, you can read there's been some terrible, we think it's bad now. You look back in history and you'll see some terrible things that happened. Terrible things happened to the church. We need not to be changed by the world, but we need to change the world in front of us. That's who God called us to be. And what He called us to do is not living in fear, but living fearless. We shouldn't be afraid to stand up for Christ. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves, but meeting more and more as we see the day approaching. And I'm telling you, those days are approaching faster than most people believe. We're seeing it right in front of us. The Bible being coming to life, the Scripture being fulfilled right in front of us. And it's exciting. It is to me. I want to read a story that I'd read. There was a church in a small town out in rural America. And one night, the church building caught on fire and burned down. And while the building was burning, many of the town folk were standing around and watching it burn. And the pastor had been called, and as he drove up, he noticed that there were many people there who used to attend, along with most of the town. And speaking to one of the men in the crowd, he commented that he hadn't seen many people this many people at this church in a long time. And sarcastically, the man responded to the pastor, and he said this. He said, "Well, I think that's because they haven't seen the church on fire in a long time." Made me think about that story. And I thought, you know, there's a lot of truth in that. It seems that the churches are just like individuals, and they get in a rut sometimes. They've grown lukewarm and just some of them just downright cold. And, you know, and the reason I say that is COVID showed us that. COVID showed us how easy it is. And we have churches all over the United States, all over the U.S. that have allowed circumstances to dwindle the fire that to a mere ember of what they used to be. No passion in the church. There's no excitement in the church any longer. And so I've got some scripture I want to share with you this morning. We get into a routine of just going through the motions sometimes, and we like to pat ourselves on the back and tell ourselves how good and faithful we are because we come to church and we gather together every Sunday, and yet we do what everybody expects us to do. But the real problem we're facing in the world today is a lack of the fire in the church. And it seems that many Christians have let the fire that they once had, the fire that was in their heart when they first received Christ, burn down to where it's nothing more than a smoldering coal. And when we as individual Christians allow this to happen, our churches can't help but become places where there's no fire, where there's no warmth, where there's no inviting flame. And I know I love to sit around a bonfire. There's something attractive. You're just attracted to it, to sit, and you just feel the warmth of the heat. And that's what the church should be like. Not only should the church be like that, but we should be like that as Christians. People want to be around us because they feel the warmth. Something's different. There's love there. You guys are quiet. We as a church, we've got to rekindle that fire for God and never let it go out. And that takes an effort. Just like feeding the fire in your wood stove or in your fireplace or on the bonfire. Yeah, you can build a beautiful fire and you can get it going and everybody's joined around it. But after a while, if you don't keep putting wood on it, it's just going to go out. That's why it's so important that we as a church family stick together and encourage each other. That's why Paul even said spur each other along to good deeds, and spur each other along is a harsh statement, really. But he's meaning we've got to keep the fire burning. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along with me, turn to Leviticus chapter 6, 8 and 13. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8 and 13, 8 through 13. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Give Aaron and his sons the following instruction regarding the burnt offerings. The burnt offering must be left on top of the altar until the next morning, and the fire on the altar must be kept burning all night. In the morning, after the priest on duty has put on his official linen clothing and linen undergarments, he must clean out the ashes of the burnt offering and put them beside the altar. Then he must take off these garments and change back into the regular clothes and carry the ashes outside the camp to a place that is ceremonially clean. Meanwhile, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must never go out. Each morning, the priest will add fresh wood to the fire and arrange the burnt offering on it. He will then burn the fat and the peace offering on it. And remember, the fire must be kept burning on the altar at all times. It must never go out." You know, if we're going to be a church on fire, we must first prepare for the fire. There in verse 8, God tells Moses to prepare Aaron and his sons to receive that fire. And God says, this is what you and I are to do in order to offer a burnt offering. Follow along with me as I reference this. The system that God is putting into place hadn't started yet. And yes, there has to be an offering given up to God, but God was laying out for His people how He wanted it done in His tabernacle. And this is how they were to prepare for the Lord to bless their offerings. And we see the instruction, or this institution of ordination of the priest, over in chapter 8 there. And God was preparing His people to be who and what He wanted them to be. And I know it, when you read through that, it's kind of hard to understand why God would do, why He wanted all it done that way. But He was preparing them. He said, this is the way I want you to do it. And not much has changed. This was the same for the disciples. Christ was preparing them to be who and what God wanted them to be. And it's the same for us today. We are to be a people who God wants us to be. And folks, to be a church on fire, we must be prepared for the fire. And there are things that must be done for God to bless what we're doing too. The first thing is that we must get ourselves in the proper fellowship with God. We need to experience God. God is not going to bless our efforts if we're not in fellowship with Him. And we can't do that by just attending church on Sunday and then living Monday through Saturday like you don't even know God. Or not thinking about God until the next Sunday. You know, God will prepare us to be a church on fire as we build our relationship with Him. And why I say this is because the church is all about Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's nothing more than that. It's about Jesus. He's already laid out the plan. He's prepared. He prepared the disciples. He says, this is the way it should be. Now go teach. Go baptize. Go teach everybody to obey my commands. Go do this. He's already laid it out. We need to get ourselves right with God, don't we? Man, this country needs to get itself right with God. When we do that, then He can use us and His church to bring people unto Himself. We need to set an example for people to see so that they will seek out our God. That's what it's all about. I'm not trying to make people like me. I'm not trying to make new Nazarenes as much as I'm trying to make new Christ followers. Amen?
Amen.
It's all about Jesus. There was a letter written. I read this letter. I thought it was so good. I wanted to share it with you. There was a letter written by a new Christian to a person whose life had really influenced her so greatly. And she lists about a dozen qualities she found of this contagious life of this older Christian, she called it. And she writes this. She said, you know, when we met, I began to discover a new vulnerability, a warmth and a lack of presence that impressed me. I saw in you a thriving spirit, no signs of internal stagnation anywhere. I could tell you were a growing person, and I like that. I saw you had strong self-esteem, not based on the fluff of self-help books, but on something a whole lot deeper. I saw that you lived by your convictions and priorities and not just by convenience or selfish pleasure or financial gain. I never met anyone like that before. I felt a depth of love and concern as you listened to me and didn't judge me. You tried to understand me. You sympathized and you celebrated with me. You demonstrated kindness and generosity. And not just to me, but to other people as well. You stood for something. Something bigger than yourself. You were willing to go against the grain of society and follow what you believe to be true. No matter what people said, and no matter how much it cost you. And for those reasons, and a whole host of others, I found myself really wanting what you had. Now that I became a Christian, I wanted to write to tell you I'm grateful beyond words for how you lived out your life in front of me. Sincerely, your friend. Such a beautiful story. This is a true story. She's basically saying, thanks for being contagious. Thanks for being passionate. Thanks for being on fire for God in front of me. We got to prepare ourselves to be that example for everyone else around us, for each other. I had people in my life that were that example to me that brought me to where I'm at today. If it had not been those people in my life that shared that passion and that love for God, that they lived right out in front of me, I would not be here today as a pastor. I may not even be in church. But I knew that they were real and they were genuine. And I wanted what they had. If our church is to be a church that's on fire for God, we must first prepare ourselves for that task. And we do that by developing a deeper relationship to Christ. And that's what I hope you all are seeking. It's growing closer to our Savior. It's getting to know Him, having that relationship with Him. And I can't get that for you. I can just live mine out in front of you. I can't save anybody. That's between you and God. I can't guilt you into receiving Christ into your life. I can guilt you into coming to church sometimes. You know, make you feel bad because you didn't show up. But that's not what it's all about. It's about you understanding who our Savior is, who our Creator is, and that He has a plan for us and a plan for you, a purpose. And what we see in these instructions are for a fire that is already burning and not how to start the fire. And if we look over, if you've got your Bibles open, you want to look over in chapter 9, the process of what God had prepared them for has started already, and we see just who provided the fire. In verse 24 there in chapter 9, it says, "Fire blazed forth from the Lord's presence and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. And when the people saw this, they shouted with joy and fell face down on the ground." Amen. How many times have you ever seen somebody get so overwhelmed by the power of the Holy Spirit that they shouted and fell face down on the ground? A lot of people would think that was crazy and weird and radical or some kind of strange event. I've seen it happen right here in this church. Moses had prepared the priest and the people for what God wanted them to do. And we see that the ordination of the priest in chapter 8 and the presenting of the offerings that God had wanted Moses to sacrifice during that ordination. And then verses 22 and 23 tells us that the initial preparation was complete with the sacrifices on the altar. And then we see in verse 24 that God provided the fire. And that was indicated that He was pleased with their offering and would bless them. When we prepare ourselves and do what God wants us to do, we don't have to worry where the fire will come from. Amen. How many of you prepared this morning before you came to church? I know maybe some of you ladies spent an hour in front of the mirror. Maybe some of the guys too. I mean, guys do that too, you know. I spend as little time as possible. But did you prepare your hearts today? Did you pray? Did you say, Lord, please send the fire this morning? Man, let your Holy Spirit abound in our lives today. Man, when I walk into the church with my church family, Lord, I just want to be overwhelmed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to feel His presence when I walk into the church. Amen. I want to experience God like I've never experienced it before. God will provide the fire. He'll do this through the empowering of the Holy Spirit to do things that we never thought possible. How do I know that? Because Jesus told His disciples these words. He said, you'll do greater things than I ever did. Those are powerful words when you really think about it. When you think about what Jesus did. And then He says, you'll do greater things than I ever did. Those are powerful words. We see the Holy Spirit depicted as fire on the day of Pentecost over in chapter 2 of Acts. And it says this, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. You know, Jesus had spent approximately 3 years preparing them, and then when He left, He provided the fire of the Holy Spirit to empower them to do the things that were absolutely amazing, but do the things that they were incapable of doing prior to. That same Holy Spirit is available to all of us today. You know, you want to get through this world that we're living in with joy and peace in your heart, let the Holy Spirit be indwelled in your life, and you can do that. If not, this world will beat you down. You'll be messed up. You'll be taking all kinds of medication just to get through the day. And Jesus says, I've got the antidote for you. All you have to do is just rely on me and be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you don't have to worry about it anymore. I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the ability. And you'll see amazing things happen in your life. We can have programs in this church and all kinds of stuff, but if we're not depending on on God and we're depending on ourselves, we're going to be really disappointed in what happens. God will provide the fire, and we just need to prepare ourselves for it and allow Him, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to set this church on fire again. His church on fire. You notice what God told Moses three times in that scripture? God told Moses that they should never let that fire burn out. Once it started, this fire is to be a perpetual fire. Once it started, you notice there in verse 9, 12, and 13, God told Moses that the fire was to never go out. They were to be vigilant in their duties and always keep the fire going. Keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning, He says. Keep the fire burning in your life. And that's what I'm saying to you this morning. Sometimes we just dwindle down because life is beating us up and we're just getting, it seems like we're getting it from all sides. Man, this world, I'm telling you, will beat you up. But we still have to just every day put wood on fire. Just kindle the fire. He tells them to make sure that the burnt coals are disposed of and to keep wood on the fire. Get rid of the waste, but yet keep adding the new stuff. It sounds easy, doesn't it? You're like, preacher, man, you make it sound so easy. It ain't that easy. It's not. I'm telling you, as a pastor, it's not that easy. I'm just like you guys out there. You know, I may be up here running my mouth a lot of times. But let me tell you, it takes a lot of work to keep the fire burning in my life. Because let me tell you, I like you, I get beat up a lot. I get beat up a lot. I carry a lot on my shoulders sometimes, and Amen. Life's not always easy here in this world. But when I focus on God, when I focus on the power of the Holy Spirit and keeping that flame burning in my life, it sure makes it a whole lot easier. I can endure things, and I still got joy in my heart. What we need to realize, I guess, is that they had to take this perpetual fire with them as they traveled and went about their busy lives. You know, they didn't stay in one place. They were traveling along, and every day, every time that they would take down the camp, they took down that, and then they traveled on, and then they had to set it all back up. And I'm saying that because every day of our life, we have to keep that fire burning. We have to keep it burning. We have to do whatever it takes to get that fire going. I don't like being cold, do you? Amen. You ever been really, really cold? I'm getting off the subject a little bit here. I remember when I was in the military, we got orders that we were going to get sent to a winter training camp, okay? So we had to do Arctic warfare training. Well, they sent us to northern Michigan, in between the Great Lakes. They got a camp up there. That's what it's for. And when we got there, you know, of course, I'm from here, you know. I mean, it gets cold here, but I've never been 35 below zero. 35 below zero. I'm like, this ain't right. Who in the world would ever want to live here? Nuts. 35 below zero. We spent 14 days in the field, in tents. I wore so many clothes. I don't think I was ever warm for 14 days. And the greatest thing that was, I mean, I think it was a hot shower. When I finally could take a hot shower, I mean, it was like the greatest thing ever. I mean, I can still remember that, the warmth. You know, it's like the first time I'd been warm and nobody wanted to get out of the shower, you know, because everybody felt the same way. That's more than you needed to know. Just saying. Probably more than you needed to know. But, you know, that coldness, I think sometimes we get there spiritually, is what I mean. We get so cold, God says, I don't want you to ever be that way. I don't want you to ever be that way. Keep that fire going. Keep that fire going, whatever it takes. It says, when they camped again, the tabernacle would be reassembled, and this was just part of the job, and the Levites, for Levi and his tribe. And if you read over in Numbers chapter 1, if you get a chance, I encourage you to read through this because it does have a lot of meaning to it. and where there was the account of all the able-bodied men that would fight. But the tribe of Levi wasn't in there. They left them out because that wasn't their job. It wasn't to fight the battles. Their job was to take care and guard and keep the fire going. That was their job. They carried the fire for the altar with them wherever they went. And guess what would have happened if that fire had went out? They would have been defeated in every battle. So it was their responsibility, and that's our responsibility as a church, is to keep the fire burning. Because why? Because our community needs it. Our country needs it. We need it. Our church needs it. We need people that are on fire for God, standing our ground. Let me tell you, this world needs a church. This world needs a church. This world doesn't like the church. You watch the news, you can see it more and more. It's right in your face. There's people that hate the church. They hate the values of the church. They hate what it stands for. And Jesus warned us of that. He said, they're going to hate you because of me. They're going to hate you because of me. So you better get ready. You better keep the fire burning in your life. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says this, and you are living stones that God is building into His spiritual temple. What's more, you are His holy priest. Through the meditation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. We are the priests of God, and just like the priest of the children of Israel made sacrifices to God, we too offer spiritual sacrifices to our God. And we do that by how we live our life out. Just as the priestly tribe of Levi was charged with keeping the fire burning on the altar, we too must keep those fires burning. In a church on fire keeps that fire burning. We don't just start a fire on Sunday morning and let it die out when we leave. A church on fire takes that fire with them wherever they go. A church on fire realizes that the fire must be a perpetual fire. And we can't start a huge bonfire to attract everyone's attention and then let it dwindle out. Church on fire is not a church that is in, I guess you could say, a sprinting contest. It's in a marathon. We're in a marathon. We got to keep the fire burning at all times, and we're in a marathon, and the finish line is when we close our eyes for the last time, and when we open them, we see Jesus. Amen. When we open them up, we're in the presence of the Lord Almighty. And until then, we're to keep that fire burning on the altar of the Lord. And until then, we got to choose to be a church on fire. And I hope you choose that today. We do this by preparing for the fire, realizing who provides the fire and ensures that the fire is a perpetual fire. So I want to ask you this morning, have you prepared yourself for the fire today? Have you asked God to just set you on fire? Man, fill my heart. And I remember the story, you know, I'm going to talk about this next week, I think, about the road to Emmaus, where the two people, Jesus, had appeared to him, and they didn't recognize who he was. And after he left, they said, didn't our hearts just burn? Didn't they just burn? That's what Christ does. I love that story. I could ask you, have you really given your life to Jesus? Or has the fire just gone out in your life? Has it just dwindled down to just a little ember of what it once was? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that there's hearts burning today. I pray that, Lord, those that are just dwindling down, that they start stoking the flames. Whatever that takes, Lord, that they're willing to step out today and say, I want to add wood to my fire. Lord, I need you in my life. Lord, I pray that we become the church that you want us to be. We need to be for our kids, for our community, for our country. Whatever that takes, Lord, help us today. Lord, I pray that we leave here better than we came, and Lord, we don't let that fire burn out. We just keep it burning all week, that when people see us, they desire what we have, that they see something in us that's different from the world, and they want that. That's who you called us to be. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.